Hey there, everybody. Phil here. If you were around for the live version of this podcast, you know that we had a few technical difficulties, so this isn't up to our normal sonic quality. So hang in there, bear with us, our apologies, and we've got new parts on order. We're going to swap out the hamster and the wheel, and we'll get it all fixed next week. So we'll see you then.
My name is Matt Jamison. I use a rooted Droid Incredible. Now get ready for the Android Central podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode 34 for Thursday, October 14th, 2010. Angry Birds is here. It's almost here. It's not quite here. It might be here by the time we're done, and if so, we're cutting the podcast short, so I can go play Angry Birds for the rest of the night and not sleep. I can stop. I can stop anytime I want. Really, I can. I'm Phil Nickinson. I'm your host. I'm the editor of Android Central. If I don't lose my job because I play Angry Birds all the time. And here we are. It's another weekly podcast. We're doing it live. We're attempting to do it live. We're having all sorts of technical fun tonight, trying to decide whether to blame Windows, whether to blame Flash, whether to blame Steve Jobs. So we'll think of somebody. And we got a full crew tonight. We have Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
And we have Corey Streeter, our forum admin. We need like a cool title for you, Corey. What should it be?
Corey's taking a nap, honestly.
Is Corey even there?
No. I am here. I'm sorry.
Hey!
Hi, Corey. How's it going?
Hey, welcome to the podcast.
Good evening, everyone.
And we have Mickey Papillon, a.k.a. the cell phone junkie.
Hey there, everybody.
So that's it. That's our podcast. We'll see you all next week, because I'm not sure these computers are going to make it the rest of the night. But we're going to try. So yes, Angry Birds is coming. Let's just get it out there. Is it that good a game? Look, it's a good game. It's a cool game. But geez, folks, it's just a game. Yeah, I said it.
Fun. I don't say I play it all the time, although I've seen people, I'm not going to name any names, that have passed nearly every level, which is a lot because things keep unlocking. You can just keep going and going. But I think it's fun, but I only can play it for like... Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Sorry. What?
Oh, I thought that was me. I'm sorry. That was Phil.
It's a good game. It's a good game. So yes, Angry Birds is coming maybe by the end of the show. That's all I really want to say about it. Man, I mean, it's cool. Like, we started seeing videos pop up because Rovio put out like an early version and it's ad supported and blah, blah, blah. And yes, I call it some broad conspiracy on the site. And of course, it's not. That's ridiculous. And it's cool. Hey, look, my kid was playing Angry Birds all day. So that's Angry Birds. I want to talk a little bit about Windows Phone 7, mainly because I was at the launch on Monday. But I'm curious, from what you guys saw, what you think of it. So we saw, I mean, it was a worldwide thing. We saw like six or nine phones here? I can't remember. I have so many phones on my brain. So we saw a bunch of phones here in the U.S. Anything you guys saw that really piqued your interest, whether in the OS or the hardware? Or
I like the HD 7. Looks pretty cool. I'm getting a lot of my friends are telling me they want the phone. I haven't spent a lot of time looking at it because I'm busy in Android world, but it looks pretty cool. I think they've done a good job.
I like Sprint's take on that tilt form factor, mm-hmm. A little tilting. You know, that looks pretty neat.
And that was weird because that wasn't really supposed to be there. I mean, the big announcement was an AT&T thing. They have three phones coming in November. And then there's a separate kind of HTC, not event, but they had a suite up in a hotel and we got to go hang out up there. And it was kind of an HTC and T-Mobile thing. And then downstairs they had more phones. So LG was there, Samsung was there. And then it's like, here's this Sprint phone that you can't turn on and we can't really show you, but here it is. That was odd. So we've got a whole new OS and a whole new website to go with it, actually. WM Experts, which is where I got my start, is now WP Central. So if you haven't been over there lately, go check them out. And speaking of new stuff, actually, we should have talked about this first. We have a new mascot. I keep calling him a logo. It's not a logo. It's a mascot. And it's very, very cool if you haven't seen it. I like it. You guys like it? You better. Say yeah.
I like it.
What about you, Mickey?
What's his name?
He needs a name. And we're
He may be a she.
Could be a she, actually. But you guys. We need a name, and we need a name by what? By the weekend, right? By the end of Friday. What are we going to call it?
Andy the Android.
Someone in the chat room said Susie.
Susie?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Very McCory.
So yeah, it needs a name. For those of you listening live, we've got a link in the show notes. Somebody who can actually, you know, use a web browser, because I can't tonight. Somebody wants to dive into the forums and post the... you know, I can't even turn the links on, so I guess you can't post them. Anyway, the links are, the show notes are in the forums tonight. You can grab a link to the contest if you haven't seen that by now. So yeah, it needs a name. Go pick a name. You'll be the envy of all your friends, and we'll make you famous, and you win a free case for your phone. So do that. And we've got more stuff in the works. Can't talk about it yet, but it is only the beginning, folks. And really, Angry Birds is the start of it all.
Here, that'll work. Replace my four X's with HTTP. Sorry, I can't give you something you can click, but that'll get you there.
Sorry about it, guys. So that's that.
Cut that out.
Anything more on Windows Phone 7?
I think the operating system overall is very impressive. I think they did a nice job with it. I don't know until I actually get some time hands-on with it what I'm going to feel like about the tiles, but I think it's the right direction for Microsoft. I also though think that this is really a low level or not very popular operating system. I think they're going to see somewhere around 5-7% of the market share with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, they're going to be probably okay with that. I don't see this as, you know, a million people jumping onto. I don't see it as something that's going to really pose a big threat to Android. But I do see it as, for those that have Windows mobile devices and just absolutely love the platform, wanting to make a jump, you know, a complete departure and, you know, a reboot of the OS, if you will. I just don't see this as being mainstream consumer.
I've said it like 600 times now, and I know, but Zune Pass in it is excellent. Really, really good. The gaming on it's really, really good. What I don't really appreciate, I think, is having to be all a ball, just completely immersed in the Windows Live culture. Like, I already have everything in Google, so I think if you're already in Google, you're fine. If you're in Exchange, you know, you've got a very compelling operating system, I think, if you need something for business and fun. But the way Microsoft is marketing is kind of weird. They're basically saying, here's a phone that you don't have to use. You know, we want you to use it and put it down. And they've got that weird commercial out there of like people dropping their phones in the toilet while they're using them. And it's a little strange. I mean, they're not bad commercials. They just look funny. And Zoom.
So why are you thinking with that strategy?
What's that?
Why do you think they went that direction?
Hey, it's an interesting kind of strategy, right? I mean, everybody is always looking down at their phones, and in the commercial, they use Blackberries. We got to get people, you know, to quit looking at these stupid phones all the time and instead look at our phone occasionally. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
It's the phone to help you get on with your life is the idea behind it.
Yep.
Which I don't know. I think it's, don't you feel like this could eventually backfire on them? I mean, truthfully, they're looking
strategy
at this,
backfire
like,
on Microsoft. That's crazy talk.
Everybody I know can't put their phones down, so I don't know if that's a... I know I can't.
I don't want to put mine down.
No.
I like my phone.
That's kind of the point, isn't it? I mean, you create a phone that's so compelling, you want to use it all the time, not something that you go, oh, I don't think I need to use that right now.
Exactly. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So we'll see. It's interesting. We'll just have to see what happens.
I see it as a fight for the top of the bottom between RIM and Microsoft now.
Mm-hmm.
And it could work. You know, whoever can pull off better, you know, between BlackBerry 6 or Windows Phone 7 is going to catch that bottom end, the people that need Exchange, good email, that's who they're going to go after.
I don't know that that's going to be the ultimate selling point anymore for them. I mean, really? Is it that big of a thing anymore that you can integrate Exchange with anything now? I I don't know. It's they've gone from this total consumer focus, business focus with, you know, Windows Mobile and the professional line and everything that they've done, to they're trying to be consumer-y with the Xbox integration and the, you know, everything. And I don't know. I don't know what to think about it yet. I want to play with it. And like I said, I'm really excited about the operating system itself because it's something new and it's different and it's fresh. And I think that's great. I feel the same way about WebOS. I mean, WebOS, for all of its lack of exposure, is awesome.
Sorry, that was my fault. I'm not playing Angry Birds. I was listening to Mickey. I'm trying to get the chat room up on here.
Uh-huh. One of your 20 phones going off.
Nobody believes me. Now Mickey's mad at me.
All right, I'm done talking. You guys go on.
Yeah, Mickey, oh.
He's taking his ball and going home. I'm sorry, Mickey.
I like listening to Mickey.
I want to talk about the HTC Merge for a minute because we put up some hands-on video. Kind of the first video that's out there. And if you haven't watched it yet, well, you're a bad person. Go watch it. Watch it twice. Angry Birds is the new Vuvuzela. I'm going to have people calling in now. You guys are so unprofessional. You play Angry Birds.
I can see why you like it so much. It's fun.
Anything new in the Merge video that you guys are interested in? I mean, look, it doesn't show that much more, right? The slider mechanism, you know, gets shown off a little bit. It really is that good. The keyboard is that good. It's good.
I just, you know, why they didn't put the new sense on there puzzles me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, hardware will do it.
But memory is going to be an issue there, right? Because we know those ROMs are huge.
Yeah, but now it's probably going to be the same thing as the G2, have a 4 gigabyte, you know, chip inside, but you're only going to be able to use 1.8 of it anyway.
Right.
You know, because of the way Android partitions stuff. So they've got plenty of room. I'm sure they've got a reason. I would like to know the reason.
I'm sure we do.
Is it possible it's still coming? I mean, it is pre-release version that you had, right?
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, I have no idea how close the version that we saw is to release. But I'm willing to bet if that's what, you know, is going around at this point, then it's probably not going to be the new sense, maybe. So odd.
The keyboard looks very impressive.
I love the keyboard. The keyboard is awesome. I can't say enough about the keyboard.
I've never touched the Merge, but, you know, it's the G2. The keyboard is sweet.
Mm-hmm. So that's the Merge. Jerry, let's talk about the G2. Your review went up today, and it was excellent, sir. Nicely done. Hats off.
Well, thank you.
If I were wearing a hat, I would take it off.
It's a great phone. Everybody, you know, I don't want to put out the wrong impression there. I am seeing some signal issues. I know some other people were seeing some signal issues. If you're not, that's good. You know, it's, you know, maybe not happening to everybody. Maybe it's because we don't have HSPA Plus. I don't know. I could live with that.
Aaron from Frown Dog. Aaron from Frown Dog is having signal issues as well.
So. Yeah. And a couple people in the comments were seeing the same things that I'm seeing. So, you know, it's an issue, but that's something I'm sure that T-Mobile's going to take care of. It's a new phone. Mm-hmm. I can deal with, you know, the first couple weeks, maybe even the first month. Okay. I love the G2. I'll be upfront about that. It's a great phone. It's fast. It does everything that you would want a phone to do. Opens up applications instantly. I put some benchmarks up there for people who are into the numbers game. It is a great phone. There are some issues with the signal, at least for some people. I don't like where the USB port is. And other than that, I can't find anything to complain about. So, you know, you have to be digging if you come up with USB port location for a minus.
The hinge that's on your, and you have a full unit. You went out and bought yours, right?
My biggest problem is, you know, just, is it locked? Is it not locked? Who's telling the truth? What do we believe? they could get that sorted, I'd be happy, happy, happy with the G2 ever. Or at least until the G3.
Well, and where do we stand on that now? Because we had some kind of craziness over the weekend and then even into Monday and Tuesday, right?
Yeah, it's... You've got, you know, a certain group of people that are using big scary words like rootkit, and, you know, I don't know what they're trying to do there. You've got T-Mobile coming out and saying it was purposefully done that way. It's locked down. We're doing it to help you guys so your phone won't brick. And then you've got the hackers and the modders saying that T-Mobile's full of it. It's, you know, it's a hardware bug, and it's not writing what it's supposed to write. So at this point, I don't know what to believe, so the skeptic in me wants to say it's not rootable. Your 15 days is almost up. If it turns out that it is just a bug and T-Mobile's not trying to, you know, lock anybody out, I'll be the first one back in line to rebuy it. But I'm not going to support a company that wants to put extra precautions in locking down their phones. Go ahead, throw fruit at me and hate me. Go ahead.
I'm going to throw Angry Birds at you.
There you go. But for anybody else that doesn't have these stupid ideas about everything needs to be open, and I'll be the first one to admit, you know, those are stupid hippie ideas. They just happen to be mine. It's a great phone. Don't be afraid to go out and buy it. You'll be happy. Most of the things people want to root their phone for, you know, like tethering, maybe the Wi-Fi calling, supposedly T-Mobile's given that to us anyway.
Well, supposedly, because, what was it, Tuesday morning, we woke up to hear that a couple people might have gotten an update that enabled Wi-Fi calling, yes, and tethering and a couple other things.
And I talked to somebody that got that update. It's not might have. It's just a random guy out of the blue that has no idea how to share it and feels terrible that he couldn't share it with everybody, but he has it. He showed me files, showed me pictures, read me things. He has it. He has working Wi-Fi calling. He has tethering. It's all there.
Oh.
But then T-Mobile came out and said, what update?
Yeah.
We've said these features are coming. They're not here yet. What the hell are you guys talking about?
Exactly. And, you know, you got to expect that. They don't know when they'll be happy with it and be able to release it, so they're not going to want to talk about it yet.
Hey, and for the last time, because I'm sure after I say it this time, everyone will totally understand it and we'll all be good. It does not matter where you live as to when you get an update. It does not matter at all. It does not matter what city. It does not matter what street. It does not matter what state.
As a matter of fact, the person I spoke to lives in an area. He barely gets a T-Mobile signal, and he lives smack dab in the middle of nowhere in the Midwest. So I doubt they would be first on the list.
I will not eat it in a car. I will not eat it from a phone. Sorry. So that's the G2, right? Oh, what about CyanogenMod? So CyanogenMod started tweeting out, like, hey, you know, I'm working on it. And he got it loaded up from the SD card, you know, through temporary route. And I think he said
that,
something.
That guy's amazing, oh, isn't he? Yeah, I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's got it where he can turn his phone on and make it boot into his own ROM. That's nothing he can release to the rest of us. Right. I mean, don't even ask him. It's trickery. It's hackery because he knows his way around Android so well. But it's a great sign. If we can get a permanent root and it doesn't, you know, lock up the NAND chip. If T-Mobile was telling us a lie, and I hate to say that, but they're so confident and, you know, this is what it is. If it turns out they were wrong, there's hope for us yet.
What about the whole thing where they basically called out T-Mobile and HTC and said, you guys are lying about this whole backup partition thing, and it's really just a bug, and you're all full of it?
I believe them because they don't have anything to gain or lose. You know, I believe the hackers.
Yeah.
They don't have a predetermined agenda. They're going to call it, you know, like they see it, because all they want to do is get the phone unlocked so they can monkey with it. So I think, you know, I hate to use the words T-Mobile lied. Maybe they misunderstood. Maybe it's corporate speak and it sounds like a lie. But you know, I still have to go by the official word from T-Mobile that it is purposefully locked.
The Samsung Fascinate and Xperia X10 are going to be available in white at Best Buy. Hey, Mickey, are you still waiting on a white iPhone?
No.
Just
though
ask.
I do.
That was me.
Yeah, I do have an X10 here, though it is not white. But I just got that one in a couple of days ago. I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Can we save the trouble?
Sure.
No, Phil, that's not fair.
All right, I won't ruin it for him.
Why? Because it's 1.6?
The ship sinks in the end. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Enjoy the hardware, Mickey.
Enjoy the hardware.
Enjoy the hell out of it.
Well, I just won't turn it on. I'm just going to sit here and look at it then.
No, turn it on. I'll tell you what. Have fun with that camera on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah,
my 8 God.
8 megapixel, right? Yeah.
And, you know, more than that, it's actually good.
And Sony Ericsson put out videos this week of the 2.1 update. Like, hey, here's what you're going to get. And that's great. But, guys, it's halfway through October. I mean, this thing was announced, what, was it early December or late November? I forget when. But, I mean, we're closing in on a year ago mm-hmm. that this thing was announced. I mean, we first saw it at CES, you know, January 2010. And it's just now getting Android 2.1. I mean, that's not good. That just flat out is not good.
And 2.1? 2.2 has been out since May.
Right.
Yep.
You know, I don't know.
They did add a bunch of interesting skins to it, though. Kind of like the call history
mm-hmm.
widget, some of the things they did. It's pretty cool.
It looks different. It certainly feels different when you use it. It's just slow, and it's a lot like this podcast tonight. There's a lot of static in it.
Yeah.
It's jerky, and you're not really sure if it's going to happen at all. But, oh, poor X10. Look, I love Sony Ericsson. I love the hardware. It's great hardware, and it's great that they're kind of overreaching and wanting to do something that nobody else is doing and totally making it look different. But you got to make it happen. You can't keep swinging for the fences like that and missing and expect people to be in the stands the next game.
Right.
I'm going with baseball tonight for some reason.
Do, 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 do.
HTC B showed up again, a ROM leaked out of China, where these things usually leak out, actually. There are like two or three Chinese forums where all this stuff always comes from. And so it leaked out again, and this one has Altel branding in it.
Yep. And we
this
had
is
some...
about like the Aria, version of the Aria, basically.
Looks like it, yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, we had a... I think it was Omi. Anybody that knows is from the old BlackBerry camp will know. He did get it to download without errors and get the ROM ripped apart. Sent me some stuff. It's Altel all the way, not Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
It's got an Altel boot screen, the whole shebang. It's Altel.
Altel's
strange.
It's so weird because they got bought by Verizon, but not completely. There's still like pockets of Altel out there, like little sacks, little cells. But it's good they're getting there.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. You guys want to talk Google TV for a minute?
Yeah.
So the Logitech review is coming, right? Got announced a couple weeks ago. They never really gave us a date. They just said later in the month. And then Monday night, I and anyone else who pre-ordered a review got an email from Logitech that said, sorry, but it's been delayed. It's now going to ship on the 21st. And the first thing I thought was, great, because you never gave me a date in the first place. And if you hadn't said the word delayed, we wouldn't have known. So it looks like maybe it's going to ship on the 21st. That would be great. I'm starting to have a little buyer's remorse.
I figured you would from what we saw the other night from Sony.
Well, here's my thing. All right, so Sony announced, and finally, we knew it was coming. They announced it way back when Google TV was first announced. But they finally showed off, it's called Sony Internet TV with Google, or with Google TV. Which is quite the mouthful. And so you have a few TVs with it built in, and then you also have a Blu-ray player with Google TV built into it as well. The Blu-ray player is $300. Now, Google TV itself, the Logitech review, doesn't have a Blu-ray player, so I'm kind of thinking maybe I ought to send it back and get the Blu-ray player. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that is a bummer.
Well, Logitech has really good return policy, so it'll be right. But yeah, they kind of undercut them there. It'll be interesting to see how these manufacturers do that, right? So Sony just kind of cut the legs out from under Logitech, unless Logitech, you know, suddenly takes $100 off the thing.
Yeah, that would be great for us. You know, let them fight over the price, and Jerry will wait till he can get one for $199, and bam.
What do you guys think about the remote? Fandroid was there, and they love the remote. I don't know. I'm kind of the mind that if I'm going to be using this thing, like true internet out there, I want a real keyboard. I don't want a thumb keyboard, no matter how good it is. I want to be able to type.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's a little bit too compact.
Although I love the remote. I just, you know, I can see me sitting playing with it, but, you know, I'm not the average consumer. You know, I agree that they should have gave an option for a full keyboard.
I want my kid to be able to use it. I want her to be out there watching TV and be able to navigate around and not have to learn some weird thumb remote that her tiny little fingers won't even be able to work.
Yeah. That TV looks awesome, though.
The TV does look awesome. Yeah. Speaking of buyer's remorse, so nice. It's like, I finally got a big TV, and then, I don't know, but I like to have my components separate. That way, if something goes bad, you know, I can swap something out. If something better comes out, you know, it's not that big a deal to just do it, right? I mean, same thing with my computer hardware. So I got this piece of crap modem in here that's driving me nuts tonight. A piece of crap router and a computer, and I can swap out any one of those and be okay. But that's me.
You know, I have to agree with you, but that all-in-one that, I mean, Corey hit it on the head. They look nice. I could totally see convincing the wife to get the 24-inch one to put in the bedroom.
Yes, that would be nice. I do need a new...
Navigating it while you're in bed.
Well, yeah. I'd, you know, if I had Google TV in the bedroom, I'd never leave it alone. Oh, I tried to be all right, get out of the gutter, y'all.
That's kind of it for the hardware. We actually went the better part of a week almost with no new hardware.
T-Mobile Comet.
It'll clean up. Get it? That was bad. Yeah, all right. So it's how do we pronounce that company? Huawei?
Yeah. Huawei.
Yeah. Huawei. It's a company that, like, especially if you go to Mobile World Congress or... Are they probably a CTI, Mickey? I can't remember. Like, you see them off, and, you know, it's usually Japanese-type stuff. It's like ZTE. It's a really big company, just nowhere in the U.S. So it's kind of weird to cover. But it looks like they're finally coming. Cool.
Yep, that'll be interesting. I'm kind of looking forward to taking a look at it. I might see about getting one, you know, to review for the site.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I am the bottom end phone reviewer, and this one comes with Froyo.
Hey, I've got the I've got the Samsung Transform here. I'm gonna review that.
Nah, well, I'll believe it when I see it.
I've got the Transform too. Have you played with the Sprint ID yet?
I haven't really, but it looks better than I thought it would.
I did a first look / let's see what this Sprint ID is all about. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I literally opened up the box and turned on the phone for the first time on camera and was able to go into Sprint ID, find a pack that I wanted. I chose the Golf Enthusiast pack, downloaded it as I was doing the full, like, okay, here's what's going on with the hardware of the device. And by the time I was done with it, the pack had installed, had all these applications, had some customizations. It's pretty cool. It is, I mean, I know a lot of the listeners of the show are a little bit more technical than this, but for the average consumer, Android has just become very simple to use, where you just go in, you download the pack that works for you. You can have up to 5 of these things. It's pretty fun.
And if you don't want to use Sprint ID, it's pretty much stock Android.
Pretty much. Yeah. And that's what's great about it, is that it's really going to help with the upgrade path. Is all they have to do is they just have to essentially pull down, you know, that stock Android build and then add on their Sprint ID stuff, and then once that's installed, then it's ready to go. Like, there's no, we don't need to update you know, some sort of TouchWiz or Moto Blur or Sense UI. I mean, it's nice. They did a great job with it, and it's on all of it's on hardware right now that's under $150.
The hardware, I mean, it doesn't feel like top end, but it doesn't feel bad either. And I actually like the keyboard better than the Epic, I think. I had them both here today and was playing with them. And I said it back in the review, I think the Epic has too many buttons. It just looks confused. It looks like a graphing calculator to me. It scares me.
See, and I don't like the keyboard, but then again, you know me, I don't like any sliders. Right. So I would just prefer to have it on screen. Nonetheless.
What's the res? I don't remember offhand what the resolution is.
Is there a 640 by 480 that's available? Is that not possible?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
You guys are like, what are you talking about? You were totally wrong.
It's probably 800 by 480.
I don't think so. Yeah.
It is lower than the Epic.
Is it? Oh, okay. Is it?
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So it might be 320 by 480, right? Well, somebody look this up for me real quick. I'd do it, but my computer tonight, you know. HVGA. See, I'm going to get yelled at again for not having my resolutions memorized.
So did the keyboard feel any different? I mean, was it... Because one thing that I kind of felt about the Epic is that the keys were kind of hard to push and a little bit too close together.
Yes, yes. You have extra space, you know, compared to the Epic, you have more space between the keys. And that makes such a big difference. Makes a huge difference.
Okay, according to Google,
yes.
HVGA is the Houston Vietnamese Golf Association. So there you go.
Jeez.
I walked into that.
Well, I mean, blame Google.
Well, here's my point.
But what I'm seeing is not right. It says 640, and I think that's right.
No.
No.
It's less than the Epic. It's got to be that.
I'm pretty sure it's 40 by 320. Does that sound right?
Probably, yeah. You know, unless somebody changed something, that's what the Hero was and stuff.
Yeah, that's what this is. I mean, it's not high res at all, so...
I'm going to look at the official specs page on AndroidCentral.com.
What's the fun in that?
I'm gonna.
It's probably the kind of thing too. You know, after you've looked at it, it's fine. I mean, you get used to resolutions after using it for a little bit.
Okay. All right. Back to my point. It's 320 by 480, and here's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last week we talked about
HVGA.
HVGA. Thank you. I'm gonna memorize my resolutions. Yeah. So is the Droid Pro.
Okay. You have it's pretty simple to remember.
No.
VGA is 640 by 480, right?
Okay. Right.
So half of that is 320 by 480. All right. So ready? Hear me out. So what's QVGA then? 320 by 240 because you take the half that was of the 480. Right?
I thought that was the Quahog Vietnamese Golf Association.
Tonight's podcast is brought to you by the letter Q and the number 4. Did Mickey just...
You guys won't mind if I go eat dinner and come back. I feel like... Am I even here?
Yes, you're here.
What's going on?
So here's my point. It's a 320 by 480 touchscreen, which I said last week I was a little worried about when it comes to the Droid Pro. I don't think I'm going to be worried anymore. I think Jerry's right. I think I'm going to be banging out emails so fast I'm not going to care.
No, it's so awesome. True. You will love it. It is one of my favorite Android devices that I've seen. I almost just said it was the best. That is not the right term to use.
No, not Pro, if you want to make it.
Yo, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome. Yeah.
No, we didn't have you on last week to talk about it, did we?
I was flying.
Yes.
So
you're supposed to bring me one back.
I was supposed to bring you one back. Well, I couldn't steal one from the guy that was there. They all had like dev markings on them. So
that hasn't stopped me lately, has it?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
What do you think's under my thumb in that merge video? All right, let's move on to some serious application talk. I think. Have I mentioned Angry Birds is coming out?
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah.
No. What's Angry Birds?
Angry Birds will be out. TweetDeck is out of beta officially, and they made a big deal. You know, went straight to number one on the charts, as apps do these days. And then they actually, the day before, they released a whole bunch of stats about what devices are using TweetDeck and what OS versions, and it's really kind of ridiculous to look at because it pulled, what did it pull, Jerry? Build prop information, so you had like every...
Looks like
hack mom and Android 3.0 showed up, and the HTC Glacier was on there, and I'm willing to bet
those could be real, though.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm willing to bet they are. Definitely.
But, you know, Phil's super duper phone probably isn't.
All right, let's talk about that for a second. Wednesday night, Droid Life posted up an about screen that somebody sent to them that said Android 3.0, the Motorola Olympus, which might or might not be a tablet, might or might not be one of these Tegra 2 phones, a.k.a. the Terminator phones that Taylor from Android and Me has dubbed them. He's been doing some legwork on that. I don't know. I mean, I have no doubt that there's Tegra 2 stuff in the works. You know, we've talked to NVIDIA as well, and they've already got meetings set up at CES, so I have a feeling we're going to see some in January. I mean, I hate to, you know, I'm not going to, like, just up and up say, hey, you know, that's fake, because I don't know.
I will.
No, and hey, Calix from Droid Life did a good job of, you know, explaining, hey, you know, we can't verify this
right either,
but, you know, they just sent it to us, so... you know, when we poke a little fun at about screens, it's because I keep thinking back to the Supersonic back before the HTC Evo was announced. You know, another site, and I'm not even going to say which one, you know, got an about screen as well that had the HTC Supersonic with Android 3.0 on T-Mobile. So that's like three different kinds of wrong, and it just gets funny. I'm sure it's out there, and I'm hearing the Gingerbread... You know, again, I'm hearing stuff too, so whatever. Take it with a grain of salt. The Gingerbread is well in the works, and that we might even see it on, dare I say it? No, I'm not going to say it. On some new hardware soon. So, that's all I have to say.
Say it.
Nope, I'm not going to say it. Upper Mobile is coming out of beta soon. It's been in beta since forever. I used it way back at Mobile World Congress in February. And it's Opera Mobile. It's a browser. It looks and feels like Opera Mobile has for years, especially all you guys who came from Windows Mobile. We've been using Opera Mobile. It's on Nokia, right? Yeah, it's on Nokia.
Yeah.
It's on Symbian. I want to just hop ahead and go to the next bullet point. We should have talked about this when we were talking about CyanogenMod, but they got code from the... How do we pronounce that, Jerry? MUIU? MUI?
I say MIUI.
MIUI, yeah.
But I could be wrong.
From that Chinese ROM that's... It's hand-coded, right? Like, they totally wrote this themselves. And we now finally have FM radio on the Nexus One. I think I saw today it's already been ported over to the Evo.
Yep, I've got it running on mine. Just had to try it.
Very, very cool. That's something people have wanted for a long time. Never underestimate how much people want FM radio on their phone.
Yep.
Despite all the technology out there and satellite radio. And,
well, somebody mentioned to me, they at the gym where they work out, they have an FM station inside the gym. So the I'm sure that there's cool. other places that do the same thing. So I can see that.
What a bunch of geeks we are. We're like, oh my gosh, gyms have like FM transmitters that so you can listen to the TVs. That's crazy.
Not just geeks, fat geeks.
Yeah.
I know Corey's over there laughing at us now because Corey's Mr. Healthy over there, but fat geeks.
Hey, beer's healthy.
As Jerry and I raise glasses to each other. Speaking of coming or getting into beta status, is Firefox for Android, Fennec, is now officially in beta, and I'm not sure if beta 2 has been released. I think they said they're going to recompile it and it'll be smaller and faster. And again, folks, yes, it's big. Yes, it's a little slow. Yes, it's a little clunky. Part of that is because of the way they're compiling it in these alpha and beta stages. So it will get better. Everybody just relax a little bit. And finally, I want to talk about Adobe Air. This came out, was it last Thursday or Friday? Late in the evening.
Late last week, yeah.
Yeah. So Adobe Air came out, and when it first came out, it was just the framework, and we didn't really have any apps. Woke up, and there's already like 50 apps for it the next morning. And Jerry, we need to talk a little bit once again about what Adobe Air is. It's not an app. I mean, it's an app, right? But it's a framework to run apps. And
right.
Adobe Air apps are loaded just like any other app from the market. They're APKs. But, you know, they run within the Adobe Air framework. They look and feel just like normal apps. And the few that I played with, I had zero problem with. They were quick. They were snappy.
Yeah, same here.
Didn't feel any real overhead on the phone. It didn't feel like it slowed the entire phone down.
Yeah, I didn't play with anything too productive. But the Bill Cosby bobblehead app is entertaining as all get out, and it runs great.
Why do people think that the framework itself would slow down the phone?
Because Adobe equals Flash, Flash equals slow. That's what everybody thinks.
My troubles tonight notwithstanding. I'm still excited about Air. And AppBrain has already put together a really good section so you can find Air apps and just go play with them. And I suggest you do. Let's talk a few more OS updates. Motorola, in its forums, has pulled together a big list of issues on the Droid X. And
poor Moto Matt.
That guy has the worst job in America right now.
Yep.
Next to Android Central Podcaster. Yeah, it's a pretty lengthy list. I mean, none of them are huge, right? But they're big and annoying bugs. And we'll have a link in the show notes. You can go check them all out. The MyTouch 3G supposedly has started getting its Froyo update. I've seen a few people, so it looks like it's trickling out very slowly.
Cool. Are you listening, Sprint? Are you listening, Verizon? Aeris Hero? That's all.
You're not going to let that go, are you?
Yeah, I mean, it's wrong. It's just wrong.
The Galaxy S, the like international version, Samsung released the Froyo code, but apparently it's been pulled. I saw if Android had that up today. So it got pulled off the site. Look, unless you're, you know, a developer, you don't really need this yet. If you're in the United States, you still have to wait for your carrier to push it out. So it's really not that big a deal to you yet. My question is, did they pull it? And I just didn't get a chance to ask Samsung today. Did they pull it because it's not ready? Did it accidentally get put up? You know, what's the deal? But so it's out there. They're close. We had that letter over the weekend that leaked out to us from inside Samsung saying they've done the testing and it's pretty much ready to go. So look for it anytime.
Apparently they... Apparently they replaced it with Claire.
No, they did?
Yeah. That's what the phones
are. That's mean.
Was it just labeled wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, so the original was Froyo, but they went and pulled it, and then they replaced it with an Eclair build.
Oops. Man, somebody's getting yelled at tonight.
Yeah.
And speaking of Froyos, I guess this has been going on for like a week or so now, maybe a little longer. I think Droid Life actually put something up last week. But some kind of silent market updates. It can't be. Jerry, they're not pushing out updates without us knowing it, are they?
Yes, they are. I got one. And I would not have known I got it if I didn't look.
Okay, so here's the deal. They're pushing out updates to the market that is putting the Android 2.2 market features. So you've got comments in a different tag. You get update all. There was something else. I forget what. On Android 2.1 phones. I'm not crazy about them updating the market without telling us. Just on principle.
Neither am I, but it's an agreement that we all agreed to when we installed Google's closed source applications. It's right on your phone. So, you know, that's theirs. We're only allowed to use it. So. Okay.
Well, still, they should just pop something up like, hey, we updated your market. That's all I'm asking.
That's it. That, you know, do you want to upgrade the market so you can have all this cool stuff? Yes
or
no?
Not even do you want to. Just say, hey, we updated your market. You have new features. Here's what they are. That to me, you know, when we talk about the definition of open, that to me is the definition of open, right? You know, a very good example of it.
Yeah, but to be fair, the market is not open. And Google is the first ones to step up and let you know the market is not open.
In the spirit of an...
Okay.
Open-ish. Listen, you communists.
This is just payback for the way you treat Mickey.
A little message would be nice, you know, just to tell you what they changed.
Thanks, Jerry.
You're welcome.
See, Mickey, I've turned my hatred from the Droid Incredible to you, apparently. Root your Mickey.
Totally as an aside, I saw someone at CTIA last week that was actually using a Dell Streak as their primary phone.
Ooh. No.
Yeah. Wait,
like a giant?
No. It was awesome, though.
Are they and sadist?
No, but it was awesome because he was just like, yeah, I've pretty much resorted to the fact that I'm going to wear cargo pants all the time anyway, so it's really not that big of a deal.
Anybody I know?
Ed Hardy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Ed's a little wacky like that. I like Ed.
Isn't that awesome?
Not like Ed Hardy, the clothing, whatever. Ed Hardy from
Bright Hand.
Bright Hand! So our good friend Ed Hardy from Bright Hand, Terry Zadelstra. Oh my god. The laughter in the background is not for Ed Hardy. It's because of all the editing I just did while we spent 10 minutes remembering the name of his site. Ed, I apologize. Oh, we're horrible. So, yeah, so Ed was carrying around a Dell Streak. Hey, Mickey, thanks for that aside. That was quite the tangent
yeah,
you sent us on.
That was useful.
Well, he's my new hero because I've got to get one to play with for at least a weekend so I can walk around the mall holding that thing.
Ed's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty fun, though. I mean, just because I had never really spent any time with one hands-on, and so it was great to actually be able to do it. And nice to have that keyboard on that 5-inch screen, too, that's for sure. It's great.
How'd the screen look?
It's beautiful. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's like you're kind of doing the convergence of a smartphone and a tablet into one device. And you're just, this is it. This is what I'm doing. And you can use it as a phone. I mean, it is possible. So he happened to have it on T-Mobile and was doing Edge only. But as he said, he's usually around Wi-Fi, so whatever. So there you go.
Sweet.
A couple more code releases I guess we should mention. HTC has released the Desire Z source code. The G2 source code is also kind of out there. The download location came out, but it's not up on HTC's site, so I haven't really posted anything on it yet, because I assume it's done, but I don't know. We'll find out. So that's out there. You can go find it if you really, really are into that sort of thing. But again, unless you put together your own stuff, it doesn't really mean much to you. Doesn't really mean much to me, right? I don't do that.
It's just a kernel source.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of the streak, Dell has quit updating the streaks to 2.1, and they're going to instead finish up 2.2 and push that out. So kudos to them for doing that right.
If they get it done.
If they get it done.
You know, if Valentine's Day comes around and they're still talking about going to update, then...
No, I got $5 that says they still get it done before the X10.
Well, okay.
All right, should we move on and do some voicemails? Maybe.
Let's do it.
Cross our fingers.
Maybe.
So we will start with Brian.
Hey there, this is Brian in Mountain View. I'm calling for the Android Central podcast. I just finished listening to the recent podcast, and I had a comment about the I think it was the Droid Pro. You're talking about had the 3.1-inch screen and the lower resolution. I believe it was 320 by 480. I think that's the same resolution as the Palm Pre, and if I'm not mistaken, the same screen size. They're very close to it. And I have to say that there's no problem with that screen size. If anything, you're going to get better battery life, and you're going to get better performance. I mean, not that it seems to need it with the specs that are on the device, but if that's the only thing that's stopping people from getting it, I say that that's not a problem at all. And really, with that screen size and having a keyboard below it, you're not going to want it to be much bigger. It's going to, flip out of your hand, or it's just going to be too large. It's going to be real, real huge. If it's a slider, maybe it's a different story, but having a BlackBerry keyboard on that, I mean, I'm picturing a Palm Pre with the BlackBerry keyboard. I mean, what's not to love about it? That sounds amazing, and I think that shouldn't be an issue at all. So thanks for that, and keep going with the great podcast.
Hey, like you said, I'm kind of on board with that now, I think, since I've been using the Transform.
Well, how long ago was it that a 3.1-inch screen would be just fine?
If you're on a Palm Pre today.
Well, sorry, Alec.
No, seriously. No, not that long ago. What, the Nexus 1 was the first 3.7 phone that we had? Right? No, the Droid.
I think so.
How big is the
Droid? Oh, you're right, you're right.
Droid's 3.7. So, say a year, call it a year.
Isn't that similar to the Aria? How big is the Aria?
I think the Aria was about 3.1. No, the Aria might have been smaller. I don't remember offhand.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I think
AndroidCentral.com/HTC Aria.
Aria was 3.2.
3.2? Yeah, there you go.
People in the chat room, yeah.
Aria
chat room to the
size.
Rescue.
It was a fun size to hold in the hand. So. No, I think we're going to be okay. I think Mickey's right. It's going to be an awesome phone. Let's move on to Keith.
Hi, my name is Keith Rochette. I'm calling from Long Island, New York. My question is that with Verizon's announcement recently that they're going to start rolling out, or I guess have started rolling out, 4G. My question is, currently I'm a Droid Incredible owner. Is my Incredible going to be eligible for the 4G once it's eligible in my area, or am I going to eventually have to upgrade to a new phone? That's my question. Keep up the podcast. Love the show, and keep up the great work. Thanks, guys.
Who wants to say
I'll
no?
take that one. You're out of luck. You're totally out of luck. Anything that's out there right now will not be upgradable to the new LTE networks.
What period. About, but what about, people have been finding screenshots of 4G stuff on their phones. And in fact, we were making a list at some point, Jerry, and I think we never got around to finishing it.
No, it was just too big.
Yeah. Well, explain what I'm talking about.
Hey, well, it's the easy way to do it is HTC makes one version of their software mm-hmm. for both CDMA carriers. If you got an Incredible, you have all the graphics and words and menus for WiMAX, just like the Evo does. It's just in there, so it saves them time.
And it actually gets weirder. But it gets weirder because we've been finding Sprint code in Verizon device.
Right. There's legal agreements and stuff.
Yeah, there's the Sprint security legal agreement that shows up on other phones. So it's weird how they share share some of the code.
But yeah, my Fascinate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in the Fascinate. It's in that continuum.
Yeah, so. Samsung does the exact same thing. The continuum, the little bitty screen at the bottom, has icons for 4G WiMAX built into the software.
Yeah. Okay, let's do, how about Mark?
Hi, this is for the Android Central podcast. Hi, guys. I got a question regarding rooting, and I'm sure you guys get this all the time, but I have a Samsung Vibrant. I mess around with it all the time. I get I got it looking and kind of behaving very much the way that I want it, and yet I'm always looking to continue to mess around with it. And so anything that can improve the performance always piques my interest. I'm not uber literate on the tech stuff, but you know, can kind of figure stuff out. And I stumbled upon this Ryan One Click, I think it's Ryan ZA One Click leg fix in the market. So I went ahead and did that, read a bunch of stuff on it, all that stuff, and then went ahead and did it. I think I actually have a rooted phone now, if I'm not mistaken. But it's snappier, it's moving. I'm very, very happy with it. My question is, with T-Mobile announcing the firmware update that's coming out and also Froyo, when that stuff comes in, is the new firmware update designed to do what my one-click leg fix has done, which means I'm going to have to uninstall it and just go with the firmware update? Can I get the firmware update with the rooted one-click leg fix? And then I know this doesn't go with Froyo, so once Froyo comes out, I've got to uninstall it. And when I uninstall it, will the portion of my available space that, if I understand it correctly, was partitioned off as a result of this, my app storage space, will that just magically appear again? Will it go from the current, like, 550 to 1.5 that it was or something like that? Anyhow, anything you can do for me in answering those questions, that would be great. Thanks so much, guys. Bye-bye.
Rooting, Mickey, that goes straight to you, I think. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Jerry.
The lag fix takes part of the internal storage and partitions it and sets it up under a better file system. And the Galaxy S phones use that instead of Samsung's original file system, which is very slow. If you uninstall it completely, you should have your space right back because it's not really doing anything with it. Just it's moved files from one location to the other. When you uninstall it, hopefully it moves the files back where they're supposed to be. And yes, uninstall it before you put on any updates, just to be safe.
There you go. All right, now we have Randy.
This is Randy Boggs from Kingsport, Tennessee. I have a Samsung Epic 4G. And my question is, I wanted to buy the app Beautiful Widgets, but it's under a different currency. It showed the U.S. dollar. It was like $2 or $3. I clicked buy, and the payment keeps getting declined because it's a different currency. I was wondering how I could fix that and how to get the app. Thanks, guys.
Now, I thought that was changed recently, right?
They only changed the graphics.
Okay. So when you're...
He might be using an American Express, too, and if you are, it won't work. You have to use a Visa or MasterCard.
And not all Visas or MasterCards are going to work either.
True.
Can you call your credit card
and
explain?
No, your bank declined... At least, I called my bank.
Yeah.
They declined charges in foreign currency under a certain amount because they said, you know, if we see this, chances are just somebody on the internet got your credit card number and they're buying stuff off of eBay. That's what they told me. So
back in the
I just
day,
had to go to a different bank.
Back in the day, the developer had, what's his name, KOXX?
Beautiful Widgets? No,
yeah.
That's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
no,
okay.
He's not talking beauty. He's talking pure, the pure.
Pure.
Oh, okay.
Pure widgets. KOXX.
Yes. It had a spot on his website for just that, right? Like, hey, if you can't buy it for whatever reason, you can PayPal it or whatever here. But I'm not sure that's still up, so go to his website and check it out. Now we have Tellus Woods.
How's it going, guys? This is Tellus Woods. I'm calling from Washington State. And I just have a quick question. I was just wondering, I downloaded the Evernote Beta 2 application or app for my Droid X. And I was wondering, because I'm paying for the premium service, which is only about $5 a month anyway. But it says in the beta that I can get offline storage, whether I'm a free user or a paid user. So I'm just wondering, do I really need to even be a premium user now? Like, what's the benefit if I can get free offline storage? Because that was the main thing that I wanted anyway, and that was why I was paying the $5 from the beginning. So yeah, that's my question. I love the show. Mickey, you're not authorized to take any more vacations. Phil, I authorize Jerry to get Mickey's next vacation. All right, take care, guys, and love the show. Bye.
I want a vacation.
What about me?
All right, you Evernote users, any reason to use the premium version now?
Okay, well, first of all, it still gives you a lot of things. If you're looking to upload a lot more, if you just load notes, you're probably not going to go over the your cap, and I don't even remember what it is. It's like 40 megs a month or something like that. So obviously that'll be up. So if you do a lot of photo uploading and stuff like that, you can also upload a maximum note size of 50 megs. So again, if you're uploading like PDFs and other kinds of stuff like that, that could be definitely useful. I don't know. There's some, there's no ads. I don't know. There's just more that you can do with it, but he does have a good point that it, for the offline side, it's not really a benefit anymore.
What I understand with the beta, though, is that once it's no longer a beta, only premium customers will get the offline storage on the Android app.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that definitely sounds like it could be it.
Need to test it, so.
Yeah. All right, here comes Aaron. It's another long one, but it's a good one.
Hi guys, this is Aaron calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I called a couple of weeks ago asking about the Verizon stores in my area automatically at the store installing Advanced Task Killer on new devices. One of my friends here at work, she and her husband both upgraded recently to the Incredible. And because I have one, they wanted to get my advice on a couple of things. And I mentioned to them that, the store may ask them to install Task Killers when they go to get their upgrade. And I said, based on my knowledge, and I showed them some things from your site, that wasn't necessary and that they should be fine without it. So they got their phones last week, and they've been enjoying them. They have been running into a couple of bugs with the operation, some really strange battery drain, and the other phone had some trouble keeping up with the general menu operations, just lagging behind on a lot of things. So they went back to the store to see if the techs there could suggest anything to try to fix them. And, of course, their first suggestion was, well, you'd better put a task killer on to free up that memory to make sure it works right. And so my friend, you know, said to the rep at the store that, you know, Aaron had told us that we don't really need one. So they put me on the phone with the rep. And no matter what I said, I even sent them a link from a couple of places showing how 2-2 doesn't really need it. They still think, well, that'll just solve all the problems. It's not really a question, I guess. I just thought you'd enjoy hearing how the stores still, no matter what you do, they think task killers are the end-all, be-all of how to solve every problem. So I guess we're not solved. All right, that's all. Just wanted to pass that along. Keep up the good show. See you. Bye.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I wish somebody from Verizon would call me and ask me about a task killer.
So Verizon thinks,
I'm not picking on Verizon.
If Verizon thinks that the phones need task killers, why don't they put one on there in the first place? I don't understand why employees are putting them on there on behalf of people.
Well, the incredible it ships with Froyo. Task killers don't work anyway. Who are they fooling?
Yeah. I sold my Droid X to a forum member this week, and I put a little note in there that said, please don't use a task killer. Call me up wanting your money back.
Awesome.
We need to get up with Verizon and see if that's actual policy, because that really is kind of weird.
So. Well, yeah, and we have heard different, that it's not Verizon policy, so you're right. We need to clear that up.
I'm willing to bet it's just guys in the store, but we'll find
probably.
Out.
Probably.
We'll find out.
It's not all just right. Verizon either. It's Sprint does it, too. Yeah. So.
And third parties do it, too. I've seen it done at Radio Shack and at Best Buy, so.
Hmm. All right, one last voicemail. It's a short one from Blake.
Hi, my name is Blake. I'm calling from my HTC Droid Incredible. Recently, I've been very disappointed in the perceived speed of web browsing on Android in regards to scrolling, panning, and zooming. If you compare the Android to iPhone or the newly released Windows Phone 7, the difference in speed and smoothness is night and day. I would like to get your opinion on if hardware-accelerated web browsing will be supported in Gingerbread.
That's a good question. And actually, Jerry, I was going to ask you, because one of the things Opera was making a big deal about with Opera Mobile is that it supports full hardware acceleration. So my question is, do current browsers not do that?
No idea. That's something I've never even looked into. I assume they probably don't if it's going to be a Gingerbread feature. I just, you know, I take issue. I've got an iPhone and the Evo right here in front of me. And to be pinched to zoom is a little bit smoother. But number one, the iPhone, well, and I've got an older iPhone. That doesn't load the whole page. I see cross-hatching placeholders. The Evo scrolling faster from top to bottom at Android Central's page. So maybe there's something else in effect.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the Captivate flies, Captivate.
Well, they both should.
Yeah, they both do. I mean, it's not enough of a difference for me to say one's really faster than the other. The only difference I see is the Android browser tries to load the whole page at one time where the iPhone loads it in sections.
Hmm. All right, we're going to have to crunch on that one for a week, I think.
Yep. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. All right, I tell you what, let's crank through a couple emails real quick, and then we will put this puppy to bed. Steven writes, hey guys, I have a question about the Droid X. I recently got a new one because my other one got bricked, and my question is, when I reset everything on the new X, why did apps that I hadn't downloaded since my Droid 1 transfer over? It's a Froyo thing. I think we did a post a couple weeks ago. You need to uncheck before you sign in with your Google account. You need to go into the settings, and there's a little thing that says sync my apps, and it still says no, and then another one underneath it that actually says yes, sync all my apps from my account beforehand. So that's what it is. Even though one of them is unchecked, the other one is still checked, and will sync apps, assuming you know the phones are all in Froyo. And that's what happened to me when the Droid X got the Froyo update. I had completely wiped it because I wanted to play with it clean, and it still put up a whole bunch of my old apps on it. I didn't know why. So somebody wrote in and explained that to us. So that's that.
Cool.
Yeah, it kicked my butt.
I'm noticing both of the next two are both for Jerry.
Yeah.
Well,
you guys read them then. Yeah.
I'll read the one from Brendan. So Brendan writes, I thoroughly enjoy listening to the podcast every week, and you guys do a great job. My question is for Jerry. I was wondering how hard it is to be one's own ROM chef, or how easy it is to tweak and bake a customer's version of Froyo from the source code available from Google. I have a rooted Nexus One and love the flashing ROMs. And like anything else, like small things from the various ROMs I have tried, and was wondering how hard to make small tweaks in different parts of Android to suit my particular flavor. For example, modifying the dialer to be more like the original dialer in Froyo so that it opens to the last tab in the, for example, the call log instead of the contacts, etc.
Okay. if you want to make your own ROM from source, it's not hard, but you do need to, you know, understand a little bit of programming. You can download everything from Google. You can put a software on your computer so it's, you know, your programming environment knows where to look for everything. And then you just bring up the files and make the changes. The problem is the changes, it's all in source code. It's code. It doesn't say, hey, check this box if you want to change. So you're going to need to be pretty familiar with Java. It would help to be familiar with C. And you're going to have patience and be able to spend the time to make a tiny change, flash it to your phone, and find out that nothing works. From not source, that's a little bit easier. You just, you pick and choose what you like. Let's say you like something from CyanogenMod. You can pull it right out of the ROM and swap it in the ROM you like and try flashing it that way. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, you know, you have to see why. Read your log, see why it's crashing, what else you might need to change. But it's not something that you're just going to jump right into. Just pick something really small, really easy, and work at it. And there's all kind of resources around. You can go into our forums. You know, we've got people in there that kind of know their way around it. We'll help you. We're happy to talk about it. That's what we all love to do, is sit and yak about Android. So...
And if you want something even easier, go to Motico.
Right. And use Paul the O'Brien, kitchen.
Yeah, Paul O'Brien at Motico has an online kitchen, so you can kind of pick and choose what parts of ROMs that you want. It cooks it all right there and tailors it for you exactly how you want it. And I've done that before with this stuff. It's really cool to do. Say you want the Sense car app instead of the stock Nexus One, the stock, you know, Froyo car app. Cool. You can just switch it right out.
Yeah, good example.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's really fun to do. All right, Mickey, you read the last one.
All right, it's from Joe. He writes, a few podcasts ago, Jerry talked about sending all of his emails to his Gmail account and then somehow sorting them with labels. Currently, I have 3 email accounts coming into my Evo in addition to my Gmail. Can you explain how I can get all of them into Gmail? How do the labels work? Then I assume it will be like a push system where I will not have to do a send and receive every hour like it does now. So when they come through, the Gmail will then automatically sort them because of the labels. Please explain in detail.
Okay, it's a little easier. You go on your computer and go to Gmail and go into your settings. There is a section where you can import from other accounts. You take your other 3 accounts that you currently, you know, pulling on your Evo, and instead have Gmail check them for you. And Gmail will actually reach out and, you know, let's say it's Comcast. They'll query Comcast, and if there's any new mail in your inbox, Gmail will collect it and pull it into, you know, your Gmail inbox. Or you can go into your Comcast account and have mails forwarded to Gmail. Whichever way you want to set that up, if you use Gmail to suck the mails out of your Comcast account, it's going to do it every 16 minutes and 22 seconds is how often it's going to check. Where they came up with that number, I don't know, but that's how long it is.
You didn't just make
if
that
If you
up.
Have it. Nope. It's wow. 16 minutes. I had a big, huge argument with somebody about a BlackBerry, and we sat down with a stopwatch and timed it. It's like 11 seconds shorter than BlackBerry queries, so they're all right around 16 minutes. But and if you have your Comcast account forward them, it's instant. When it comes into your Comcast account, it just forwards them to Gmail. In your Gmail account on your computer, you go into your settings and you go into your labels and you make a filter that says every email that comes in and it's, you know, came from such and such at Comcast.net, put the label Comcast on it. And then anything that comes in will be all lumped together under a label named Comcast. Go on your Evo, open your Gmail client, hit menu, labels, pick Comcast, and that's everything from that account. You can put a shortcut right on your desktop to any label in your Gmail client. I've got 4 or 5 that I use. I've got one that's called Comcast. I can tap that icon on my home screen. It brings up everything in my Gmail inbox that really came from Comcast. And this sounds more complicated than it is. When you get to Gmail on your computer and look at the settings, it's pretty straightforward to, you know, forward mail and label it. Once you get it labeled, you can use the menu button in Gmail and sort by labels.
Aaron in the chat room has a good question, though. What about replying back to emails?
It's going to use your Gmail account.
Fail.
Yeah.
It's, you know, can't do it. There's nothing you can.
But you, if, yeah, on the phone, that's true. But on the desktop, you can set it up so that you can send from. So that's, but I, yeah, on the phone, you're screwed.
And what I do is I do have an account that I need to send email from. I have it set up in the mail client and it never checks.
Yep.
I get it through my Gmail. If it's something I need to send, I open up the regular mail client and send it.
Hmm. Well, there you go. That was a really good question.
Yeah, it was. And it's, I know it sounds so complicated trying to explain it without looking at it, but really, look at the settings on gmail.com on your computer, and it will all make sense to you.
All right, guys, that's going to do it. Thank you for putting up with a technically challenged podcast. Thank everybody. Not just the chat room. Not just Mickey. Not just Corey. Not just Jerry. Stick a fork in it!
Good God!
Oh.
Mickey, wrap us up.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can do this by sending us email, podcast@androidcentral.com, or give us a call. The voicemail line is 888-468-6158, extension 222. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can follow the site on Twitter, @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GBHill, that's H-I-L. And Corey is @CStreeter, S-T-R-E-A-T-E-R. I'm sorry, Corey, if I mispronounced that. Streeter.
No, you got it right.
Reader. All right. The entire site and the podcast brought to you by the Android Central Store. You can hit us up at store.androidcentral.com or give us a call at 888-468-6158.
Stone Warrior in the chat room asks if Angry Birds is supposed to be released this week. Anybody know?
I heard, yeah. I mean, what, like in a couple days?
Check back on Sunday. No, it's coming out now. Anytime now.
Phil, do it.
In a couple minutes. Could be now. Could be 10 minutes from now. Could be an hour.
Breaking news.
Waiting for it. Oh, Phil failed because I didn't actually have Angry Birds open. So.
Well, yeah, we were all waiting. Jeez. What kind of boo-boo-zale tonight is it?
I'm totally going to pull that out of the ROM and make that the outro of the podcast.
Oh, God, do it.
All right, Mickey. All right, Corey. All right, Jerry. Chat room. Everybody out there at home playing Angry Birds. Thank you. Thank you for hanging in there tonight. So, we'll see you again next week. Later.
Later on.
Good night.
Bye-bye.